In the introduction, we were looking at some of the aspects of the Jewish festival of Sukkot, part of which was the importance of reciting Psalms of Praise, those 113 to 118, and that would be part of the morning service. As our call to worship, we read those opening verses of Psalm 113, and as we continue our reflection, let's return to that psalm to start with. It begins with praise to God and gives us a sense that there are no limits to God's love and our response either, across time or across geography. Just to remember God is a blessing, now and tomorrow and always, from east to west, dawn to dusk. Keep lifting up your praises to God. That was the Message version that I used earlier. And for the next verse, which is verse 4, I'll change translation and jump to the Good News Bible, where we get a reminder that God is God for all nations. In other words, God takes care of, loves everyone. This is indeed great good news and well worth celebrating at any time. And today too, as we give thanks to God that all of us have enough to eat and that in spite of challenging growing conditions in our country this year, the harvest is now safely in and that because of the wonder that is global trade, we will continue to have enough food to eat. But this good news isn't just supposed to be good news for those who, like us, have enough, dare I say, plenty to eat. This is because in God's economy of love, that operates so very differently from the human habit of looking after number one. Or, of course, the economic model that seeks to put profit above and beyond anything else. In verse 5, we read of God up in the heights above, and we are reminded that there is no one else like God, especially as we read that God then bends down to the earth. And God does so for a reason: to lift the poor from the dust. And reading on a little bit, God lifts the needy from their misery. It's those there in the dust of a failed harvest who God wants to help first. It's a reminder of the indescribable care God has for people. And this is one of the themes of Sukkot, of the great joy that comes from knowing that God will always look after us, no matter what. And it's typified in a very physical way by sitting there in that flimsy little hut, a hut with a roof that has holes in it. It's a reminder that even though life has its insecurities, and for some those are far more than others, regardless, God still cares. As Dr. Jonathan Sacks, former chief rabbi, wrote in a reflection about Sukkot, it is a tutorial in how to live with insecurity and still celebrate life. A little later on, he says, faith is the courage to live with uncertainty, knowing that God is with us on that tough but necessary journey to a world that honours life and treasures peace. In the psalm, it's interesting to keep reading, because that is what God does next. He shows just how differently the economy of God's love is. For God doesn't just lift the poor up out of the dust. God actually goes far, far beyond that. For the people he has lifted up, we read that he makes them companions of princes. Companions of princes, the princes of his people. The poor get VIP status. Now that has got to be a source of joy. And joy and celebration is there at the heart of Sukkot. And it's well worth having at the centre of our harvest celebrations too. Finding the foundations of our faith in Holy Scripture interpreted through the gifts of the Holy Spirit and continually praising God for love that is beyond measure is an essential part of our faith. But if we stop there, we're missing the essential part of a faith that is both alive and active. And this is one of the important themes that we have returned to last year and this by looking at our mission map and thinking through our discipleship as we walk the way and seek to bless. A call to discipleship is a call to follow and do just what Jesus did. Engage with people. We are the ones who are asked to act on God's behalf in the world of here and now. We are among those who are called to put God's love into action. So not only is it quite right to be filled with joy today as we give thanks for the harvest, we are also involved in following God's lead and helping to lift our sisters and brothers out of the dust, away from need and beyond. Our calling is to act with joyful generosity when we see need. And that is what Paul writes about in our second reading this morning in 2 Corinthians. The particular context of that part of the letter is about financially supporting the mission of the church. But it applies very well to the mission of this church too. And you, all of you, do so much. You all give and give and give. On many occasions to literally buy food, for example, such as the school in Mbangweni, and in all sorts of other ways too, such as through Christian Aid. But this month, we turn our attention to another way of helping those in need through Tools with a Mission, abbreviated to TWAM for the rest of the sermon. For life and life in our world is a complex place. Sometimes immediate, direct food aid is needed. For example, the food that we collect for our local food bank. Sometimes help in different ways is highly effective, such as through tradecraft. But today, let me tell you a personal story from the work of Tools with a Mission. So if we can have our next slide, please, Richard. No, keep going. That one. There we go. Here's Cynthia. Cynthia lives in a rural community in Zambia. Cynthia's parents relied entirely on good harvests for their survival, as they lived in a community where there was little work, and families relied on growing their own crops for food. This meant that Cynthia could not go to school, as there was no money available for school fees. Without schooling or skills of any kind, there was no hope for Cynthia to break free of poverty or the hopelessness of a lifetime of unemployment. She was certainly one of the people Paul would have had in mind when he asked us to freely scatter our gifts to the poor. But Cynthia was determined to change her future and found out about a local charity. It was called the Faith Orphanage Foundation. They're a long part-term partner of TWAM who help vulnerable children, mostly, but not exclusively, orphans, to get skills and training. Cynthia tells us what happens next. I heard about Faith Orphanage from their community worker. He told me that they would help me with schooling and training. There was nobody else to help me. My parents could not help me because people here survive on subsistence farming, which earns very little and cannot pay school fees. We only grow enough to feed ourselves, not to sell. Faith Orphanage helped me with schooling, and when I completed primary school, I applied to the Orphanage Skills Centre to learn tailoring and design. The course lasted 2 years, 1 year training and 1 year apprenticeship in the field. I very much enjoyed the course and the teaching was very good. It was like being in a family. Cynthia worked hard to develop and grow her skills, watering and tending them as she grew in confidence. Her course included business skills and accounting, as well as emotional and spiritual support. When she finished her course in 2008, she was given a Twam sewing machine. She tells us what happened next. With my new sewing machine, I went back to my village and started to work from home. I started sewing uniforms for schools, shirts for men and dresses for women. It takes me 2 days to make a woman's dress, which I can sell for 45 to 50 kwacha for 2 days' labour. Now that's around about £4, a very small amount to us, but in a rural community it's actually a good wage. For a term's school fees are around £16. Cynthia does really well because she is the only tailor in her village, so everybody buys clothes from her. She continues. I make enough money to support my family. I have 2 children to look after, and when they go to school, I will be able to pay the school fees. Without the help of the Faith Orphanage and my Twam sewing machine, I would have no way to find a job. You see, in Cynthia's story, we see just one example of a whole family not just lifted out of poverty, but given status and a future. There, in Cynthia's story, is Psalm 113, actually in practice. Cynthia's story is not just one of a growth in food, but one of a growth in hope, too. And that is a source of joy. This is love in action. It's the way God wants the world to be, a place where all people matter. Harvest truly is a time of celebration. It's a time of joy that can be shared across farm fields and faiths, across dinner tables and economic divides. Praise the Lord. That's the last line of the psalm and of this sermon.